And welcome. My name is Jeff Compton. I'm the general manager of Holy Family Radio in Northwest Ohio. I'd like to welcome everyone who is joining our webinar this evening with the Catholic Radio Association's live webinar learning series. This month for February 2016, we're featuring the topic of fundraising presented by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Our presenters this month are going to be Judd McNally, who's the Chief Lending Officer, and Robert Kloska, who's the Director of National Partnerships. You can check out the Notre Dame Federal Credit Union at their website at www.notredamefcu.com. I'm very pleased to be able to introduce this topic and to be able to learn a little bit more about what they have to share with us regarding fundraising. I think they have some unique and interesting programs to talk about to help radio apostolates be able to talk about and raise funds for their operations and likely things like that. So with that, I'm now going to switch over to them to be able to present their topic, which is on fundraising. Judd and Bob, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, on behalf of Bob, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We do want to cover, give you an overview of the radio station lending program that we've developed. And this is really a program that we've developed in the last year or so. And it was generated out of a loan that we did with Relevant Radio back in May of 2015. And what we saw when we did that loan is an opportunity to serve the Catholic radio industry. Because we, as a Catholic credit union, as a Catholic-oriented credit union, we recognize the passionate support that Catholics provide their organizations. And so we saw an opportunity to help the Catholic Radio Association grow and have Catholic radio stations grow by providing financing alternatives. So I just want to give you an overview of the things that that we do, the way our program would be structured. And not every situation is going to be the same. But in general, these are the concepts and the terms that we would consider making a loan. And there are sort of an infinite number of ways that these could work out. So, like I said, no two situations are the same. So, you know, as you think about it, often, you know, the best place to start is with a conversation about your station and your needs and you know how we might be able to help. So I'm going to cover the Radio Association, the Catholic Radio Association program, and then turn it over to Bob, you know, in 15 minutes or so, maybe a little less. Let him talk about our fundraising program that we are excited about and really think is going to be a future for fundraising for parishes and Catholic-affiliated not-for-profits. So I've kind of already covered who we are, but Notre Dame Federal Credit Union we're a $460 million financial institution. Our headquarters is on the northern edge of the University of Notre Dame campus. We've been around since 1940. Today we have a little over 50,000 members, and we consider ourselves the largest Catholic-oriented credit union in the country. And like I said, the Catholic Radio Association program is really geared around our understanding of Catholics and their support of the organizations that they are involved in. So with that, I'm going to jump right into what our program is. And I, you know, the first slide I talk about, you know, in general, these, you know, we're looking to make loans to refinance existing debt, help stations buy other stations, and even finance equipment. From my experience, my guess is that the majority of the loans we're going to end up doing cover the first two areas, refinancing existing debt and purchasing stations and purchasing FCC licenses. In general, the loan amount that we would look at, the only real limit we would put on it is that it would probably be no more than 70% of the appraised value of the FCC licenses. And I'll talk a little bit more about appraisals here in a minute as we get into some of the details. We would offer those loans on fixed or floating rate basis. In today's rate environment, if you had known 5 years ago that rates ago or 6 years ago that rates were going to stay as low as they have, it would have been wise to pick a floating rate option. In today's environment, it's a little bit different, and I know most borrowers are a little bit concerned about rates going up, and we are too. So we certainly are willing to offer floating or fixed rate options. And I would, you know, I would expect that, that most of the fixed rates that we do are probably going to be in the neighborhood of 4% on the low end and 6% on the high end. If we were to look at a floating rate today, we'd probably look at a rate as low as Wall Street Journal Prime plus 25 basis points or 0.25%. And maybe on the high end, it would be Wall Street Journal Prime plus 1.5% or maybe 2%. But that's, you know, that's really a management decision about which direction they want to go in terms of fixed or floating rate. The loan terms, we typically look at, you know, the maximum term we would look at is 60 months. And what I mean by term is the loan would mature after 60 months, and the credit union would re-underwrite the loan, relook at the risk, and determine if they wanted to extend it. But when we look at repayment, which is the what the payment amount would be based on, we've gone up to 20 years on the amortization. So there's really two concepts there. There's the term of the loan, which just means that if the term is shorter than the amortization, it just means there's a balloon payment at the end of the term. And what we recognize with radio stations is that an FCC license, which is a station's primary asset, is a long-term asset. Many lenders look at those and have trouble recognizing that asset has value into the future and aren't willing to go up to 20 years. And that's, you know, one of the things that we feel like is an advantage for you all in our program, is that we're willing to do that 20-year amortization. Some of the other terms that you know you could expect, in general, all of these loans, we would want to secure our loan. We would need collateral to secure the loan. The primary piece of collateral that stations have is the value of the FCC license. Some of you may have other collateral that would be certainly available to take for the loan, and certainly would add strength to a loan request. And those things could include the real estate, if you own your real estate. But certainly, you know, looking at the value of the equipment, unfortunately, the equipment doesn't tend to have much value. As a lender, we look at what the market is today and what the resale value of that equipment would be. And generally that value is not as significant as the value of the license, which is one of the reasons we look at the value of that license as the primary collateral. But certainly if there's real estate available, you know, that is something that we can look at too as collateral and lend strength to the loan from our perspective. And certainly it's very easy, but we could look at, you know, the value of any cars or trucks that the organization has. Those obviously tend to be lower value and aren't as valuable. But if you're looking at a low loan amount and you have a vehicle that you can pledge as collateral, we can certainly look at those. Probably one of the big questions I come across the most is whether or not we would require a guarantor on the loan. And that really, you know, all of these terms really depend on the financial strength of the organization, which is again, something I'll address in the next slide, where I talk about the things that we're really looking for when we evaluate a loan request. So not always is a guarantor required, although sometimes it is very helpful and it helps us get a loan done by having either an individual or a diocese or a business or just a key benefactor willing to provide their financial strength to the loan request. Closing costs. We've been able to develop in this program, you know, what we feel like are relatively reasonable closing costs. Today, to get a full-blown appraisal on an FCC license or a station, it's probably going to cost $3,500. So depending on the size of the loan amount, we've approached a couple of appraisal groups and asked them for a slimmed-down version of their appraisal. It technically would not be considered an appraisal. It's more of a valuation. But there's a couple of organizations that we can approach that could do that, and the cost for that would be around $1,000. Additionally, you're likely looking at, and again, these are all costs that the credit union would look to be reimbursed by the borrower for, and we can certainly consider rolling these costs into the loan amount. So they're not necessarily out-of-pocket expenses for your organization. But legal fees and filing fees, again, would probably be $1,000. Generally, when we do a loan, we do look to receive a loan fee, which is an upfront payment for the loan. Now, in the case of the Catholic Radio Association, and I, you know, we are more than willing to discuss and very open to considering essentially donating that back to the organization, to the station, in exchange for a sponsorship. So perhaps you play one of our, you know, play our sponsorship in conjunction with one of your programs. So please don't look at the 1% fee as a hindrance to getting a loan done, because we're happy to talk about ways that we can take that 1% fee in kind. So this, you know, now that I've kind of piqued your interest and let you know what we're looking at doing, a big question you would probably have is what would it take to qualify for a loan? And I give you these bullet points not as firm directions and not as written in stone rules, but as general guidelines for what you consider. And I guess when I came up with these, I did a little research on what, you know, sort of the average radio station would have. And probably the number one factor we're looking for before we make a loan is we're looking for strong cash flow for debt service. And when we look at cash flow, we would generally look at your financial statements, look at your, what I refer to as net income, but as a not-for-profit, it would be change in net assets. We would look at that, and we would add back any non-cash items and interest to that number. So on an annual basis, you generate revenues, you have expenses, and at the end of the day, you have income. We're really looking at the cash income. It's not unusual, as you depreciate fixed assets or amortize the value of your license if you need to, that you would actually, on a net income basis, lose money. But as a lender, we're really looking at cash flow and looking for the cash flow to repay the loan. And in general, what we would like to see is that in each of the past 3 and ideally up to 5 years, the organization has been able to generate cash flow that would adequately repay the debt at least 1-to-1 with a cushion of about another half of the loan payments above that. So we describe that as a strong cash flow to debt service ratio of about, excuse me, of 1.5-to-1. And we're looking for that to be consistent over 3 to 5 years. You know, we recognize that in some years, organizations have better fundraising efforts and cash flow can be better. So it doesn't have to be every year, but we'd like to see that consistent. The other idea that we would look for is an organization with a strong balance sheet. And when we think about a balance sheet, we're thinking about a specific ratio, which we call the debt to net worth ratio. So if you take the liabilities of the organization and divide it by the net worth of the organization, ideally we like to see that ratio to be about 2-to-1. Now, it isn't unusual to see radio stations with higher debt to net worth ratios, and part of that is because the current value of your license isn't necessarily reflected on your balance sheet. Unfortunately, the accounting rules don't allow you to mark up the value of your assets to their current market value. So again, it's not unusual to see debt to net worth ratios of higher than 2-to-1. That's just the guideline that we like to use. The other thing we like to see is that the organization has cash balances, which is an indication of some of the reserves that you have in the event that donations and pledges do slow down in any one given year. You have some resources to draw on to repay the debt. And I put in the bullet point, sort of a minimum of 10% of assets. That might be a little bit on the low end, and I think as you manage your organizations, you might look to have higher cash balances to your total assets, you know, maybe closer to 30%. But I certainly recognize that that's not always feasible and that you're often looking to deploy your cash quickly into growing the organization. But that's a 10% is a good minimum. The final piece we're looking for that I think is really key is a strong management structure. And that can really come in a few different forms. It could be just a very experienced manager or the person running the organization having a lot of experience, not just in radio stations per se, but in managing an organization. If you don't have a strong manager, that doesn't have to be a problem, as long as there's also a strong board of directors supporting the organization. And from that standpoint, we're looking for individuals that have perhaps deep experience either in radio stations or other businesses, people with financial expertise that they can lend to the organization and help the organization manage itself as it looks to grow and for our purposes, repay the loan. If I were to add a fourth bullet point in it, it really goes quite well with the first bullet point. We also are looking for a consistent donor base. And there is not one way to look at that. Often we come across organizations that have numerous small donors. And I think that can be a sign of strength when an organization has, and it depends on your size, it might be thousands of donors giving you $50 every year. But it might be five donors giving you $20,000 every year. It's going to differ by organization. But knowing that the donor base is consistent, knowing that the donor base is growing, that's good information for us because that confirms that what we expect, and that is that you've got strong supporters of the organization. So that's a little bit on how you qualify. And, you know, the next question you might have is, well, what if we're not a strong station? What if we're a startup station? What if we don't have cash balances? And there are still ways to get those loans done. The key thing we would probably look for is an individual or, again, an organization that would be willing to guarantee the loan. So that goes back to an earlier slide where we talked about having a guarantor. It's not always required. It would only be required when we didn't feel like the station was strong enough and we needed some additional support to get the loan done. And that's where we would ask you to maybe talk with your supporters, talk with your board of directors, talk with your local parishes or diocese about their willingness perhaps to lend their financial guarantee to the loan. Sometimes we come across individuals, and going to the next bullet point, that are willing to not just financially guarantee it with a guarantee, or maybe they don't want to guarantee the full loan amount, but they are willing to make a loan to the organization. And that's a situation where we could look to structure the loan in such a way where the credit union's loan would be in first position, and a benefactor would perhaps make a smaller loan that would be subordinate to the credit union. And that could be their way of providing support without making one large cash donation. And at least in theory, that is a loan that eventually the organization would pay back. It's also certainly possible that if you're a younger organization or your recent operations have not been strong, where that individual could make that loan and the credit union could agree in advance that after 2 years or 3 years, if the organization does demonstrate their ability to raise cash and support the loan, where the credit union would look to essentially refinance that loan and repay that benefactor their loan. And it's just a way, again, to give us some comfort that support's going to continue. It certainly in the event that the organization doesn't do well, that individual's loan could be at risk. But for the most part, as you grow your organizations and you get stronger, we would look as a credit union to refinance that loan and give you additional debt that could potentially pay off that subordinated loan. And those are two somewhat creative ways to look at getting a loan done that if your organization is new and not particularly strong today. So what would be next? If you're interested in getting a loan, you know, really the information that we need. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to advance the slide. Thank you. Sorry.
Yes.
There's the guarantor and subordinated debt information. So how do we get started? You know, I would welcome you to call us at any point, and I'm happy to have a conversation about your organization and what I think would, at least initially, what I think it would take to get a loan done. But there would be information that we'd request that's helpful to us to review in talking with you about that. Ideally, we'd love to see 3 to 5 years of financial statements. In an ideal world, those financial statements are prepared by an accountant on an audited or review basis. But I also know that many of your organizations are smaller. Often, you may file a tax return called a Form 990, which is not unusual for a not-for-profit to file with the federal government. And those would be excellent statements to provide to us. But if all you have is internally prepared statements by a bookkeeper that works for the organization, we can work with that. That's not a big deal to us. Certainly as the loan amounts get bigger, we like to see higher quality financial statements, something prepared by a certified public accountant, but that's not always going to be necessary. So we'd like to see 3 to 5 years of financial statements. We would like to see background information on the management and the board of directors, And that's some of the information I mentioned earlier, things like how much experience do they have in running a radio station? If they're on the board of directors, what is their other experience in business? Do they have experience running another business? And the length of time that they're on the board, because I think that's certainly an indicator of how much they support the organization if they've been on the board for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. It gives us comfort that those individuals are going to stick around and support the organization. We certainly want information on the FCC license. That gets more important as we get closer to closing loans, so we can evaluate the value of that license and provide that to an appraiser to give us a value. And then we'd also want qualitative information, things like where do you get most of your programming? Do you produce any local programming? General descriptions of how you raise money and where you have the most success raising money. And that's where, giving us information like the number of donors you have and the increases in the donor base over time would be very helpful to us. So that really is, with that, I'm ready to turn it over to Bob. But, Jeff, I don't know if we want to try to take a couple questions now or just wait till Bob is presented.
I think we're good to maybe leave the questions to the end.
Okay.
Let's move on to Bob's part of it, and we'll see if any more questions queue up.
Okay. Yep, we're going to switch seats and let Bob steer.
Can you pull up
the... you're right.
Thanks.
Do you want to start with the video?
No,
okay.
Not yet.
Just tell me when.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm really excited to share with you another component of what we're doing. You know, Judd handles a lot of the commercial lending. And I'm doing a parish outreach program called Elevate. Just a little bit of background about myself so that you truly understand that you're with a kindred spirit. In 2007, I was part of a group that started a Catholic radio station in South Bend, Indiana, and we operated WHLY Holy Radio for 7 years. We had problems with the FCC approving the sale of the station we were attempting to buy, and they never did because they were mad at the seller for various and sundry reasons. So 2 years ago, we shut it down and turned our assets over to Redeemer Radio in Fort Wayne, and I now sit on the advisory board in South Bend for Redeemer Radio South Bend, which now covers South Bend, Fort Wayne, and parts of Northeast Indiana and Toledo, touching into Toledo. So Elevate, this is a way to create another revenue stream for your station in a way that does not create donor fatigue. So I've done a lot of fundraising in my life for a lot of things, and for 6 years, it was my job at a Catholic college. Donor fatigue is a real issue in that you keep going back to the same stable of loyal and wonderful supporters over and over and over again. About a year ago or 18 months ago, I started going to basically Catholic schools, parishes, dioceses, and asking the question that our CEO told me to ask, which was, how could a Catholic credit union best serve your needs? And we got lots of ideas. But one of the great ideas was a program that has now become sort of a centerpiece of our efforts, and that's Elevate. Elevate is a way to share revenue with our partners. Usually it's parishes and schools. Whenever their members use us for their financial needs. So rather than go through a verbal explanation, we have a 1 minute explainer video that I'm going to play right now. That's very simple and direct. And here it is.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is pleased to announce a groundbreaking program designed to raise much-needed funds for Catholic parishes and schools, because everyone needs a lift sometimes. Notre Dame FCU's Elevate program is very simple and changes everything. Here's how it works. Get a new auto loan, student loan, credit card, or business loan from Notre Dame FCU. You will get a great deal, and the credit union will donate a percentage of that loan back to your diocese, school, or church. It is as simple as that. The Elevate program could provide thousands of dollars each year to fund things like tuition assistance, sports equipment, after-school programs, or any other worthy cause. It costs you nothing and does so much good. Find out more by calling 844-230-6611 or by visiting nelevate.com. Join the credit union family that values what you value and supports what you support. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Where you bank does matter.
The next video is going to come out automatically.
Oh.
So as you can see, we are looking for a mechanism to be able to support good work done by the church. But in order to do that, we need people to bank with us. And in return, I've been a member of Notre Dame Credit Union for, I think, going on 18 years or 19 years. And I've only worked here for about a year. But I think what we offer is a great value, great service, oftentimes, actually, usually the best rates, and then this affinity with Catholic schools and parishes. So it's important to know what the difference is between a credit union and a bank. And I want to just go over that real quickly so that everybody understands, and forgive me if you already know this. A credit union is owned by its members. A bank is owned by the investors. So our 55,000 members in all 50 states are actually our bosses. We were set up, and the credit union movement was actually invented by Catholics in the early 19th century in Germany and Italy. And the first American credit union was set up by a parish priest in New Hampshire, and it was called the People's Bank of Our Lady. And today it's called St. Mary's Bank. So back throughout the history of the church has always been involved with helping the body of Christ. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, you can read about how one another bonded together in mutual support. And that's the whole concept about credit unions. A really cool thing that I've only learned in the last 18 months is that Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul II, and I didn't go back any further than that, have all addressed credit unions specifically as a wonderful and important way to create a more just and humane economy. And that whole movement really goes back to 1891. Well, the credit union movement is before that, but the encyclical Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII in 1891 really started to solidify Catholic thought on credit unions. So any sort of quote-unquote profit that we make is returned to our members, and it goes back in the forms of better rates, better services, things we can do for them, and then also in the philanthropic interest of our members. So our members, being Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, we don't know what the religious preferences of our 55,000 members. It's not a question we ask. We do know that the vast, vast majority of people who bank with us have some sort of close tie to the University of Notre Dame or the local Catholic Church. And 80 to 85% of Notre Dame students are Catholic. So we know that we have a very solid Catholic base, and this has become one of our great points of emphasis to serve the church in the world. So a credit union is a little different than a bank. A bank can do business with anyone they want at any time. A credit union requires a common bond, and the acronym for that is SEG, a select employer group. By becoming a SEG, your radio station would apply to do that, and by becoming a SEG, your employees, their families, become eligible to become members and take full advantage of the Elevate program. But you probably have very few employees or members. I think Redeemer Radio has about a dozen or 15, and we're pretty well developed. What we want to do is offer this to your listeners as a way to give while not doing anything out of the ordinary that they wouldn't do otherwise. They're going to buy a car. They're going to get a student loan. They're going to need a credit card. So we have set up with the NCUA a gateway to make your listeners eligible for membership. It requires another step, but we're fairly confident that any listener who wants to, I wouldn't say fairly confident, let me rephrase that. We're confident that any listener who would want to join our credit union, we can find a way to qualify them. As a federal credit union, we're authorized to operate in all 50 states. We currently have 55,000 members all over the country. A lot of people are hesitant when they say, well, I like to go to my branch. There's a comfort in a brick and mortar building to do my banking. Well, credit unions by nature are fundamentally collaborative. And we have 6,800 partner branches of other credit unions where you can go in at any time that they're open, make deposits, cash checks, withdraw funds, make loan payments, transfer between accounts. You can do everything but take out loans at those locations. And then we're also part of a network of 32,000 surcharge-free ATMs in the U.S. But the real appeal now is that I read somewhere that just last year, or might have been 2014, for the first time in history, more than half of all retail banking transactions were done online or over the phone, were done electronically. And we have built out our systems to be very capable. We have a beautiful mobile app that I use all the time. We have this Irish card guard on our credit cards where if you lose your wallet and you're afraid of protecting your credit card, you can just turn on the app and you disable the card temporarily for that. We have a call center here in our offices that takes calls from everywhere during business hours and extended a little bit to accommodate people on the West Coast. And we're finding that it's not just for young people. The entire world is changing to electronic banking, and we want to be part of it. Well, this is a great advantage because now we're able to serve radio stations, listeners, churches, parishes across the country. One more thing is just interesting to note that anyone who becomes a member or is eligible to become a member of the credit union, any brother or sister, parent, grandparent, spouse, household members, and that includes grandchildren, children, in-laws, are able to do business with us. So let's say you have 10 employees of a radio station, and we know how committed those people are. They're the most committed to mission people around. Well, if their parents who are retired and living down in Florida want to support their work, they can participate in this Elevate program. Listeners who listen by mobile app, and we've been amazed at how many people use the Relevant Radio mobile app, so much so that I think Redeemer Radio is going to get a mobile app of their own because mobile apps are so great. Well, you could take that with you anywhere, and it allows the field of membership to expand with your listening base. So kind of where the nuts and bolts of the program lies is in vehicle loans, student loans, credit cards, and small business loans with one caveat, and I'll get to that. But on a vehicle loan, if you want to do an Elevate loan, what you do is you call ahead, you get pre-approved, you go buy your car, and instead of the car dealership paying the bank a commission to promote their loan, you walk into the car dealership already prepared because you've been pre-approved for a loan, and that allows us to pay your parish, your church, or in our case here, the Catholic radio station, that percentage. So it's 1.375 on a car loan. Last year in the United States, the average car loan was approximately $20,000. On a $20,000 car loan, 1.375 is $275. If you had somebody who did a $30,000 car loan, that would be $400. I should go to this next slide. A $10,000 car loan is $137.50. And you can see right there that it's a win-win situation for everyone involved. We wouldn't ask anybody to take our loan unless we give them the value that they would get somewhere else. So if we can beat or even tie the interest rate offered by another bank, then the difference maker is that we are looking for every opportunity to do that loan and to contribute to that radio station, parish, or church. We have just begun to roll this out at radio stations, and we're in our infancy. We've already started to develop the program for parish and churches. So Relevant Radio is starting it, Spirit Radio in Omaha, and Redeemer Radio. To give you our proof of success, though, we turn to the parishes and churches. Yesterday, I had the great pleasure of standing at my childhood church where I went to school for 8 years at St. Thomas Church in Elkhart, Indiana. And the parish business manager was a classmate of mine for those 8 years. And we palled around the whole time. I got to bring him a check for $636, and we took a ceremonial picture of it with the pastor. That was because they began to promote Elevate in their parish, and two parishioners did their car loans through us, and those two car loans generated that $636. At my home parish in the month of December, the one that I go to now, and I send my kids to that school, we were able to send $581 there. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but in a nice way, that thus far, the parish that has performed better than any others is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we're Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, so usually we're rooting against anybody from Ann Arbor, Michigan. But In this circumstance, this is just a beautiful, wonderful parish, St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and we sent them 2 months ago $701, again on 2 car loans. So right now we've rolled it out. We're active in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We're down launching it at Christ the King Cathedral in Atlanta. We are in Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Diocese of Lansing, Diocese of Phoenix. I'm trying to think of some of the others, Diocese of Peoria. So this is starting to branch out, and we would love to offer your Catholic radio station the opportunity to participate. So that's my spiel, and I think we can turn it over now to questions, and I'll give Judd his seat back. And
all right. Well, it sounds good. Thank you so much for this information, both about the loan program and the Elevate, both opportunities to be able to provide our ministries with much needed financial support and credibility. So one question I did have, and this is for Judd, which is my ministry, the radio ministry that I'm involved with is a small one, but we're always looking to expand, looking for opportunities, and oftentimes those can come up very quickly. So one of the questions I have is, how quickly can a need be met should we need it, and or do you recommend that we perhaps in anticipation for an opportunity to be able to work with you, let's say on a pre-approval sort of basis?
We can certainly work with you on a pre-approval basis, and I would encourage that. I would guess that the whole process, beginning to end, without any hitches, would take probably at a minimum 30 days. The key piece of that process, or the key thing that would take the most time, would be the appraisal, and those can take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. So the other key piece is an approval by the credit union, and I think we can get those done in a week or two. And we get, if we're fairly confident we can do it, we can start that appraisal process to sort of shorten the time from beginning to end.
Okay.
And it is possible to do it more quickly than that, but I certainly don't want to overpromise.
Right. And that seems to be somewhat reasonable from my perspective. It's just that sometimes, things can come up quickly. You want to jump on them. If, as an example, this AM revitalization with the translators, it's a really hot market right now. And for those apostolates who are interested in that, are going to need some cash to be able to make those purchases.
I would encourage any organization that thinks they might be in that market to let us know, and we can certainly start the process and give them more direction about what we can do. Maybe even before they have an opportunity.
Right. All right. Very good. I was trying to think with the Elevate program. A question that I was thinking is, you talk about with listeners being able to become members with one additional step, and what is that step? Do they need to have a certain piece of information? Do they need a special link?
Here's what we worked out with the NCUA. They said they have to join one of our affinity groups. So it's funny because I used to be vice president of advancement over at Holy Cross College, which we're here at Notre Dame, and there's 3 Catholic colleges that all touch each other, Notre Dame, St. Mary's College, and Holy Cross College. It's basically the priests, the brothers, and the sisters. And I was at Holy Cross, and Tom came to me and said, the NCUA wants us to find a way to qualify members that is legit. So we looked at the bylaws of the Holy Cross Alumni Association, and actually the bylaws of all alumni associations, or most alumni associations, are basically booster clubs. So if you meet their 10-point criteria, which we do, it basically takes a $20 donation at the time of the loan, which, frankly, instead of some of the fees that a bank would charge, the $20 most of the time is inconsequential. So what the new member does is give us a $20 donation. We send it to Holy Cross to support them, and that makes them eligible. And we've done that now for 3 years, and it's been a great thing for both our credit union and Holy Cross College.
Right, I can definitely see that. Good. It's good to kind of know how that works. Another question I thought of was, and you may have touched upon this, so forgive me if you have at the beginning in talking about where you came from and built from, but Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, are you independent of the college there, or is there some sort of relationship there that...
We're completely independent of the university. However, we were founded at the university. Our origins are there, and our main office is located on university property. But we receive no financial support, or we have no obligation to the university. We're independent.
Okay. All right, good. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to see if I've had any questions queue up from our listeners in the chat window. I don't see anything right now, but that doesn't mean that there aren't any. So what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to open up the phone lines. Basically, I'm going to unmute the folks who are currently listening. And if you have a question for either of these gentlemen, please speak up and state your name, perhaps what apostolate you're with, and what your question is.
Hey, Jeff, it's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, quick, just a comment on credit unions in the general sense. Last year, 2 years ago, the FCC or the FDIC changed the reimbursement requirements for FDIC in case a bank fails, where depositors are now no longer owners of their money. They're unsecured creditors. So they are not the first in line. Now, should a bank fail, they're last in line. And that's not so with credit unions. Personally, and for the association, we've moved all of our assets into credit unions simply because they're safer than a bank anymore.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, no question.
Any other questions?
As we're waiting for questions, I can share with you that another project we're doing at the end of February, we are taking the lead. We have done original research, and we identified over 100 Catholic credit unions in the United States. And where I come from, parishes don't have credit unions. But it's actually quite common in Ohio and Michigan and in the Northeast. And so I visited a wonderful credit union in Cleveland in Parma, Ohio, Holy Family Parish, and I got the tour of the place, and they said, there's the church, there's the school, and there's the credit union. So in order to facilitate, we're the largest of all the Catholic-oriented credit unions, but in order to facilitate collaboration among credit unions that are Catholic and really want to emphasize serving the underserved, the poor, the immigrants, and bolstering the church, We are forming a confederation of Catholic-oriented credit unions, and that meeting occurs at our offices or at Notre Dame on February 25th and 26th. And we're very excited about it. Cardinal Turkson, the president of the Pontifical Council of Justice and Peace, has written us a letter and has invited our CEO to come and meet with them and talk about this further. So that's been a really cool development and another way that we're trying to serve the church. We also locally pull together parish business managers, and the parish business managers around here don't talk to each other. They don't even know each other. And we are holding a lunch in 2 weeks so that they all can get to know each other. This came from the parish business managers when I was speaking with them, to share best practices, to figure out resources and best ways of doing things. So this isn't just some sort of one-off outreach that we're doing with you. Our whole comprehensive vision is to grow with the church and to strengthen the church financially. If things get rough in the world in the coming days, finances are going to be a big way that people will lose their independence, and the more we can stick together, the better.
Well said. Any other questions that anyone may have? We have roughly 9 minutes or so before our hour is up. We can fill the time. But if not, I may be able to make one last call for questions. And with that, I'll consider that there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to remind everyone who's participating that this webinar has been recorded. This recording will be made available on the Catholic Radio Association's website within the next day or so for your access at a later time at your leisure. We'll also have a copy of the presentation available for you to browse through as well, to go through all this wonderful information presented by Judd and Bob. I want to thank them for joining us this evening to be able to provide this information, some creative solutions for us for additional revenue streams and a way to be able to get a hold of cash as necessary to be able to go forward and advance our apostolates. It's really great that we can really have a good partner in expanding and growing in this way. I want to thank everyone really for participating with this. Judd and Bob, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And with that, thanks again to everyone. I'll wrap things up now. Talk about next month. We'll be back next month with another webinar. Actually, it escapes me as to who we have next. I don't have access to that spreadsheet from where I'm at today. So you can join us again the second Tuesday of March for our next webinar. We'll have another relevant topic for Catholic Radio and our apostolates to learn from and expand their knowledge. So with that, my name is Jeff Compton. On behalf of the Catholic Radio Association, the Member Services Committee, thank you for joining, and we'll talk to you next month.